Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 24? Luke, chapter 24, and we're going to begin reading at verse 1. And would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Luke, chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And I want to speak for a few moments this morning on the subject of what the empty tomb says to us. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning so much as always for the presence of your Holy Spirit in this service. Lord, I never cease to be awed when he comes. It's so precious. And Lord, today we ask on the next portion of the service for that same anointing to just keep flowing. We ask for divine enablement of the precious Holy Spirit to preach the Word of God in power and in truth, and in a way that would bring Jesus Christ glory and honor and would make it a blessing unto your people. And Lord, we have much to celebrate today as we do every day that we live. We are the redeemed of Jesus Christ, washed in his precious blood, adopted as his very own sons and daughters, looking forward to his soon return. It's a glorious life we live, Lord Jesus, and it's all because you live. You are our life, Lord Jesus. Help us today, and we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, this being Easter Sunday, and of course the focus of many churches today will be on the resurrection, as this message will be. But I felt a strong impression from the Holy Spirit as I was preparing today's message from the outset to stress one thing. It's at the cross. It's at the cross. It's at the cross where our redemption was purchased. It was at the cross where the sin debt was paid. It was at the cross where the demons of hell were defeated by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the resurrection just validates the work that was done by Jesus Christ on the cross. Never forget that. The resurrection is important. I'm not trying to minimize it in any way. But the resurrection was the validation of God placed upon the work Jesus Christ performed on the cross 3 days earlier. And I read a story this week concerning the resurrection. A missionary by the name of James Patton was ministering in Iraq. God had called him to Iraq, of all places. This was in the 70s, incidentally, to be a missionary. And he would go daily into the marketplace, and he would preach, in essence, what we've come to know as the message of the cross. He would preach Christ crucified and Christ rising from the dead. And he won quite a number of the Muslims to the Lord Jesus Christ. But every day, as he sat in the marketplace preaching the gospel, he would undoubtedly face the jeers, the sneers, the taunts, and the threats of the Muslim communities. One day a Muslim imam, which is the equivalent of what we would call a pastor in the Muslim world, came to him and said, "I feel sorry for you as a Christian." And he said, "Oh, really? Why is that?" He said, "Because when I go to Mecca," he said, "I can lay hands on the coffin of Muhammad and know that he's there." And he smiled and looked back at him. He said, "Don't feel sorry for me." He says, "The empty tomb in Jerusalem proves that my God is not there but alive." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't that bless you? Hallelujah. Got to preach for a minute. Buddha's still in the tomb. Muhammad's still in the tomb. But Jesus Christ is alive. And he said, "Because I live, ye shall live also." Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it's important from the outset to understand that as glorious as the empty tomb is, it was just God saying, "I accept in toto what my son did on the cross." He was sufficient. He was sin-free. And he paid the price for sin with sinless, perfect blood. Praise God. Praise God. Very early that Sunday morning when they approached the tomb of Jesus, Mary, Joanna, Mary of James, and several other women. Boy, did you notice something here? Where are all the big, strong, macho men at? They were all hiding out. They were scared to death. But the women come to the tomb of Jesus. And they find it empty. Praise God. I read this week over and over again all four accounts of the resurrection in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I felt the Holy Spirit leading me on this particular day to choose the one in Luke, because the message of that empty tomb, first of all, that the ladies found that early Sunday morning after Jesus had arisen. The first thing it says, that we don't have to live a life of futility now. If you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you found life. They have that show on. I don't watch it because it's just too gory. I could take very little of it. It's called The Walking Dead. But some of you know what I'm talking about. I'm not a blood and gore type person, you know, but I have to stop Austin from watching it. I probably shouldn't say that. I don't mean to embarrass him. I'm sorry, Austin. I probably shouldn't have said that. But I thought, what an appropriate picture of mankind without Christ. Because I guess, as I understand it, I had to ask Austin to explain a little bit of the show to me. He said these people just walk around because of this virus that has infected them. This is on the TV show now. That they just walk around soulless and can't feel nothing, and just looking for something to eat. And I thought, could there be any better picture of sinful mankind? Because the virus of sin has infected mankind. And mankind walks around, really, with no direction, no life at all, just trying to find something that will bring life. And because of that empty tomb, we found life if we give our lives to Christ. Jesus said, "I am the life and the resurrection. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." I'm glad that he came to give us life. And when you find Jesus, you stop being one of the walking dead. Without Jesus, you're one of the walking dead spiritually. But when you find him, you found life. You found glory. You found a reason. You found eternal life. Not only in this life, that's why Jesus also said, "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." We have the promise of eternal life because of that empty tomb. Because when we place our faith and trust in what Jesus did on the cross, God in his mind counts us as having died on that cross. But he also counts us as having come out of that tomb, raised a new creature in Jesus Christ. I've got good news for humanity this morning. If you come to Jesus and place your faith in what he did for you at the cross, Your history ends at Calvary, but your new life begins at the tomb, glory to God. That's why we don't have to live a life of faithfulness and futility. Because of that empty tomb, Jesus rose from the dead, which means we're in Him and we have risen with Him, glory to God. Praise the Lord. That's something to shout about. Hallelujah. And we have now, you don't need to read Rick Warren's book to find purpose in this life. My Lord, if rising with Jesus from the dead don't give you purpose, there ain't nobody's book going to help you out. I'm sorry. But man, when we come out of that tomb with Him, in the mind of God, we come out just like He did. Just like He did. Sin free with the approval of God, full of the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah. That's what Easter's really all about. And the first thing that empty tomb speaks to us is life. I love what Brother Chris said in his message he preached several weeks ago. Man, it just got all over me in the car. I thought I was going to have to pull over and run around. I'm serious. He said, most all great moves of God have begun with death. I want you to think about that. That's deep. Most all great moves of God have begun with death. Because something has to die first for God to resurrect it into what He wants it to be. Jesus had to die on the cross so God could bring Him out of that tomb, validating His work and placing His stamp of approval on what He had done on that cross and making it possible by the agency of faith and faith alone for all who will trust in what He did there to experience the exact same glorious resurrection. My Lord, that's something. That's something. That gives our life meaning. That gives life meaning. Because now residing in every believer is the presence of the Holy Spirit, which is the presence of God, filling our lives every day, every second. And it blesses me to know that the Holy Spirit never sleeps. He never sleeps. He's working on us even when we're asleep. And my Lord, if you like me, you need it. You missed a good chance to say amen there. We all need that, don't we? We need Him working on us 24/7. I know I do. And thank God He does. He does. That empty tomb tells us we have life in Jesus Christ. And we don't have to live in fear of death anymore. We don't have to be like the walking dead anymore, spiritually speaking. But we have found life and have found life more abundant in Jesus Christ. But because He makes life worth living, not only this life. If that were, Paul said, if all we had was faith in this life alone, how miserable of all people we would be. But no, we've got the promise of eternal life in Jesus Christ. What we're experiencing down here on this planet is nothing but a puff of smoke, okay? It's nothing but a puff of smoke. It's going to pass quickly, and Jesus Christ is soon to return. Hallelujah. We have lives that are full of hope, full of faith, and full of glory, and there's no futility at all because of that empty tomb. Praise the Lord. God was saying to the world, and can I tell you, that empty tomb wasn't for God. That empty tomb's for us. God didn't need that tomb to be empty. He knew who Jesus was. He knew what He did. But I love it that that tomb was empty. And the women, when they walked into it, the Bible says they walked into it. Think of that. And literally saw it being empty. They were afraid approaching that tomb that day. They said, who's going to roll the stone away for us? And perhaps you've seen this show on recently about the Bible. And you saw how they had that big round stone that rolled across the face of the tomb. It took several strong men to move it, to roll that stone and lock it into place. And to roll it back, it was on a slight downward incline. It would take a tremendous amount of strength. And the women were worried, who's going to roll that stone away for us so we can go anoint the body of Jesus? But they got there, and that stone was rolled away, and they found two angels standing at the head and foot of where Jesus was laid. And I love what they say to the women. Second point, because of that empty tomb, number one, our lives don't have to be lived in futility. But because of that empty tomb, praise God, our failures are not fatal. Praise God, our failures are not fatal. They came and they found that stone rolled back, and the angel, as they walked into it, spoke to them and said, why seek ye the living among the dead? Wow. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Glory to God. glory to God, saying that in Christ you can have eternal life, your sins can be forgiven, all of your failures are wiped away at the cross of Jesus Christ. If you come and place your faith in that precious shed blood, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. You no longer have a past. At Calvary, our past is wiped out. But again, allow me to reiterate, at that tomb, our glorious future is revealed, and that because He lives, we live also. And some people may come looking for the old us before we knew Christ. And the response of God to those who would look at our lives now is the same response that the angels gave that Easter Sunday morning. Why seek ye the living among the dead? That old Greg Browning is dead. I've raised up a new one, hallelujah, because of his faith in my Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And those two men standing there, angels, one at the head and one at the foot of Jesus Christ where he was laid. Now I want to point something out to you. Let me take you back to the Old Testament for just a moment. And the Ark of the Covenant. On the top of that ark, there were two angels with their wings clasped facing one another and their heads bowed, looking down on the law that was in that ark, along with a jar of manna and Aaron's rod that budded, each one of those symbolic of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The law, of course, revealing the holiness and righteousness of God that man could not keep. And those angels had their, in gold, they were set on top of it, having their wings clasped together, looking down on that law. And it was between those two angels in the Old Testament when the high priest walked in to throw the blood on the top of that ark. He would throw it between those two angels. Because, praise God, it takes blood for the remission of sin. That was a type of the coming blood that was going to be shed by Jesus Christ on the cross. But that blood of that lamb was merely a covering. The angels and God still looked down on the law that was broken by mankind. But that blood covering for a period of centuries was a stopgap measure to just cover sin. But now Jesus has risen. God has validated his perfect work on the cross. And what do you have standing in his tomb? You've got an angel on either side of it. Praise God. And they're not looking down. They're looking up now. Hallelujah. Why? Because now, through the shed blood of Christ, the broken law is not merely covered. The cause of the broken law is completely removed. Glory! When John saw him coming, that's why he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Hallelujah. Yes, give him glory. That empty tomb tells us our failures are not fatal. And the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us. But because of that precious shed blood of Christ, now the angels are standing telling mankind, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? You no longer have to offer up the blood of lambs." And I believe these angels were Gabriel and Michael, the two archangels. I mean, that's just a little interjection there. But they announced, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Telling them that your failures are no longer fatal. Your sins can be washed and keep being washed in the precious shed blood of Christ. That's why 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Hallelujah. And that word "cleanse" there in the Greek, it's in the active tense. That means with our faith in Christ and what He did on the cross, we are continually experiencing, hallelujah, a cleansing power of His precious blood. Why? why we're always falling short in the flesh. But His blood never falls short. There's a continual cleansing of sin going on in our lives if our faith is in Him. And we stand holy and righteous as law keepers now, not law breakers. Give Him glory in His house today. Praise God. Don't ever think your failures are final. Can I tell you something? Failure is an event. It's not a person. I want that to sink in. Failure is an event. It's not a person. And failure, being an event, does not have to stay failure. You know the difference between failure and success? Getting up one more time. The success got up one more time. There's never been nobody who has been successful in anything that wasn't knocked down, beat up, declared to be a failure, but they got up one more time. Oh, like that song that brother sang down at Rogers Church a few weeks back when we were there. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Your failures are not fatal. The blood is at work on you, cleansing you. Don't choose to stay in an event of failure, but square your spiritual shoulders, stand up if you failed, and say, God, cleanse me in the precious blood. I'm getting up, and He'll reach down and pull you up. Hallelujah! He's for us. He's not against us. He's on our side. We have an advocate. We have an advocate, the Bible says, with the Father. So that empty tomb tells us that we don't have to live lives of futility. That empty tomb tells us that our failures are not fatal. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come. The thief cometh for naught but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Praise God. Get up in Jesus' name today. Don't stay down. The only way you stay a failure in Christ is if you choose to stay a failure. That failure is just an event, and that event can be wiped totally clean away as if it never happened. If you'll come to the cross of Christ and get back to Him and repent, He'll reach down, He'll raise you up, hallelujah, and He'll treat you like it never happened. That's called grace, hallelujah. And that's what the empty tomb speaks to us today, hallelujah. Lastly, and probably the greatest thing that empty tomb speaks to us is that death is not final. I want that to sink in. Death is not final. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, the Bible tells us, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. For corruption, for mortality shall put on immortality. Corruption shall put on incorruption. And we will dwell with the Lord forever. Praise God. With us being in Christ by faith in what He did at the cross, the very second that faith is exhibited by the sinner in the atoning work of Christ on that cross, God, through the operation of God, He wipes out entirely our past. All sin is washed away. All sin, as long as our faith is in what He did on that cross, all sin stays washed away. I want you to dwell on that for just a moment. I said it stays washed away. Hallelujah. You say, but Pastor, you don't know what I did this week. Well, did you go to God and ask Him to forgive you? And let me tell you this, even when you did that failure, He didn't quit on you. Holy Spirit didn't leave you. No, no, no. He begins to do His greatest work at the moment of failure, really. That's where real grace begins to operate. Because He says, I love you. The Lord Jesus does. I paid a high price for you. Do you think I'm going to let you go that easy? And I'm not preaching unconditional eternal security. I'm preaching, where is your faith? I don't care how badly we may have failed. If our faith is still in Christ and Him crucified, at the end of that day, God doesn't count us as being failures. Hallelujah. He does not, in His mind, He does not count us as being a failure. He still sees us as being sinless and holy and spotless but he won't leave us that way. He knows in the natural exactly what our condition is. And he will send the Holy Spirit to convict us and begin to work on us to pull us out of that mess and to transform us into something we can never be on our own. Glory. Glory. That's what that empty tomb says. It promises transformational power. It promises eternal life in Jesus Christ. And it promises life in the here and now. That's why I really doubt. I got to be honest with you. Most churches around America this morning are shouting and carrying on, probably. I shouldn't say that even. Some churches in America today are shouting and carrying on over the empty tomb. And I doubt they really know why they're shouting. I doubt they know why they're shouting. It's just they've been trained we're supposed to shout on Easter over the empty tomb. Well, if you don't know why you're shouting, guess what? You might as well be at a football game. You might as well be cheering on the Buckeyes as they lose the basketball game. Some of you watched it last night, didn't you? I just heard about it on the news. I was home praying most of the evening. No. Lord, I had the shot. I took it. I'm sorry. No, I watched it. But really, you might as well be shouting for a basketball game. Because really, if you're shouting the right way over the empty tomb, you're shouting over the work on the cross. You're shouting about what he did on the cross. Hallelujah. Because the tomb, again, just proves what he did on the cross was the only thing that God could accept. And because of that, our death is not final. When he bowed his head, I love his words. To me, and I know the whole Bible is inspired by God, but the greatest words in this book, to me, are those three, that little prepositional phrase, those three words. It is finished. It is finished. That's the gospel in whole right there. It's finished. What's finished? The reign of sin. The reign of the law and people who believe in me. They're redeemed now by my grace. And they have eternal life. Death is not final. Death is not final. Death is but a beginning to the child of God. You know, I thought about this, Deb, as I was preparing the message this week. And one of the hardest funerals I've ever preached was Ned's. Not because there was no doubt in my mind. He'd went on to glory. No doubt in my mind. But I loved him so. And I knew how much I was going to be missing him. But I had to keep thinking and keep my focus on the promise of God. I'm going to see him again. I mean, and same with Sister Mary Taylor when she went on to be with the Lord. And those funerals for me as a believer, they're very hard to minister at if you knew the people really intimately. Because in my flesh, I'm missing them still. I'm missing them still. I miss still. I think about it once or twice a month. Coming through that door there and have Ned hand me something hot off the press. He was always feeding me stuff. You know, of events that had gone on, some wacky event in the Christian world or some event in the world, kind of like what Chris gave me this morning about this nut in Springfield here going to hold a service or something to bridge the gap between Christianity and homosexuality. Anybody see this? Read this. I'll lay it on the front row. You'll be astonished. We're living in the last days, church. We're living in the last days. Sodomites and lesbians are trying to take over, and they're going to do it. The world system, because that's their system. But praise God, because our death is not final, because that tomb is empty. We serve a risen Savior who has all power and all authority and is coming again to rule and reign on this planet, and we shall rule and reign with Him. Glory to God. So that empty tomb tells us death is not final. Let me reiterate those three things that the empty tomb tells us. It tells us, first of all, our lives are not futile. We're not down here to live some haphazard life once we come to know Jesus. We found life, and life more abundant. And that empty tomb tells us our failures are not fatal. Praise God. Praise God that our sins are washed and being washed away. Can I tell you something? This ain't going to make nobody shout, but it's true. We sin a lot even when we don't know it. If we was aware of how bad we were, if we was aware of it, we'd none come to church. We'd be so frustrated. We would. We'd be so frustrated and think and have no hope. So we need that constant cleansing. But if our faith is in Him and what He did on that cross, validated by the empty tomb, praise God, we've got it. That's what we shout about on Easter Sunday morning. That's what we're shouting about. The benefits of the cross, validated by that empty tomb. You got something to shout about then. And lastly, that empty tomb tells us our death is not final. Death to the believer is but a passing. And when I think of people like Ned and Mary Taylor, and I could name others, but those two in particular came to my mind this week. I don't think about how they lived, although I do reflect on the fond memories of their lives. I can hear it now. Ned's voice, Pastor, you ain't going to believe this. Handing me something. I hear Sister Mary Taylor's voice talking in that big, deep, husky voice when we'd go to visit her. Oh, now, Pastor and Ravonna, you all didn't have to come see me. She's just so humble and sweet. But I reflect back on those memories and those good times with them. But I also reflect on not how they lived, but how they're living right now. They've inherited the fullness of the promises. We all are going to one day. That's what that empty tomb tells us. Death is not final. We have hope in Jesus Christ. We have the hope of the resurrection. We have the hope of the rapture. And we have the hope of eternal life in Him. My Lord, what more could we need in this life? And we don't have much longer to go. I don't care how old you are right now. None of us have much longer to live on this planet. And I'm not saying that to scare you. You're going by way of rapture is what I'm talking about. I don't know how much more evil it's going to become before the rapture takes place. But it's got to be soon. Because this is a church organization. This is a pastor, so-called, who's heading up this rally in Springfield to try to bridge the gap between Christianity and homosexuality. I don't care how much... Oh, Lord. I don't care how many decrees 9 old men and 3 old lesbians come up with. I'm talking about the Supreme Court of the United States. I don't care how much they decree homosexuality is right. The unfailing, almighty Word of God calls it an abomination, and it will always be a sin. And if they run me out of town or shut down this church or whatever for saying it, I'll go saying, you're on your way to hell in this sin. You'd better turn to Christ and ask Him to cleanse you, and He'll change you of those evil desires if you'll let Him. And they call us a hate group for preaching that. But that's man's label. I call us a love group for telling the truth. That's love. That's love. We don't have much longer, church. Keep your faith in Christ. Let the message of the empty tomb, let's let it permeate our hearts and our spirits every day that we live, knowing that our death is not final. And there are many of us sitting in this church this morning who are not going to taste of death by way of the grave. We're going in the rapture. I believe many that sat in this building this morning will be an active participant in the glorious rapture of the church. That's how close we are. This could be the last Easter we spend on planet Earth. Oh, Lord, that'd be great if I didn't have to move to Pittsburgh but move to heaven. Man, oh, man, wouldn't that be great? Hallelujah. Who knows, man? That's what the Lord's got in mind. But wouldn't bother me a bit. Wouldn't bother me a bit. But our death is not final because Jesus lives. We have life. Praise God. Praise God. And all the loved ones and all the soldiers of the cross that have gone on before us, we're going to see them again. But they're living right now. Praise God. They're experiencing this glorious eternal life. Man, what a day it's going to be, that day in heaven. Amen? When we see them all again, when we have that glorious reunion. You know, Paula, when you see your dad again, and he won't be bound by Alzheimer's then. He'll have a clear mind. Hallelujah. He'll have a straight mind, and he'll recognize you then. And he'll call you daughter again and know all about you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Church, that's our heritage. That's our future. And this Easter could be the very last one we spend on planet Earth. Let's look up. Our redemption's drawing nigh this Easter Sunday morning. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Would you stand? Our heads bowed and eyes closed. I just feel the Holy Spirit nudging me. If you would, let's come and present ourselves at the altar of the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just feel the Holy Spirit wants to rejuvenate us this morning. Because the evil that we read daily, it can be overwhelming if we focus on it. But I just feel His direction at this altar service this morning. For us to open up our hearts to Him and to allow Him to turn us to the glorious message that empty tomb is speaking to us today and will speak to us every day. Hallelujah. And that is, we don't have to live lives of futility. We have life in Christ. Our failures are not fatal, praise God, because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And because of that empty tomb, we know our death is not final. I'm reminded of that old song we used to sing years ago. I'll never forget it when I was a little kid in the Church of God growing up. And I loved it every time they sing it. It was called Getting Ready to Leave This World. Because even then, I believed at a tender early age of about 5 or 6, it was instilled in me by then men who were men of God and preachers of the gospel, of the reality of the rapture of the church. And it was getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready for the gates of pearl. Keeping my record right, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Hallelujah. But I remember even as I'd gotten saved again in my late 20s, when they would sing that song and they would come to that part, where it said, keeping my record right. Oh, that used to scare me to death. Because I knew my record wasn't real good. I'm talking about after I was saved. Okay? I mean, it was bad enough before. But after, there were things still going on that the Lord was working out in me, and there's things today going on the Lord's working out in me. And they'd say, keeping my record right. And until I got the message of the cross, I'd always worry about that one phrase. Because I knew I couldn't keep my record right. But when I learned the message of the cross, I learned that it's not predicated, praise God, upon my record. It's predicated upon His record. Woo! And His record's right. And with my faith in Him, that makes my record right. Glory to God. So we can sing that song without fear of condemnation. Keeping my record right. Watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Praise God. Praise God. Let's pray this morning. And this Easter Sunday, let the message of that empty tomb speak to us all afresh and anew of the glorious promises, the glorious position, and the glorious future we have in Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we come to You today in the name of Jesus. We live in a very evil world, Lord, in a dark time right now. And Lord, it seems like evil is overwhelming everything and everybody. But Lord, we hold to Your promise. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Praise God. We cling to Your promise, Lord, that says You have come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. This Easter Sunday, Lord, we cling to Your promise, for You said, because I live, ye shall live also. We cling to Your promise that says, he that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Praise God. Glory to your name, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, go deep in us. Saturate us this morning with the renewal in our hearts of the promises of God, that we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. That, Lord, though evil abounds, your grace in our hearts will much more abound. Oh, Lord, we love you today. We thank you, Lord. We shout because we know what we're shouting about. It's as the Apostle Paul said, we know in whom we have believed, and we are persuaded that he is able to keep that which we have committed unto him against that day. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We feel the glory that's in our souls this morning because we believe in you, Lord Jesus, and we believe in your promises. And one more time today, we let your work on the cross, validated by that empty tomb, speak to our hearts and infuse them with joy, peace, and overcoming power of the Holy Spirit. We're getting ready to leave this world. Hallelujah. Praise God. Give him a hand of praise today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We honor you, our Savior and our King today. We look forward to your soon return, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, just lift your hands and let him bless you. I don't feel the Holy Spirit's quite through yet. He's just open your heart to him and let him bless you. He wants to bless in a myriad of ways. Each one of us needs a different blessing from him today in some different way. Let him give it to you now. His grace is being poured out around this altar. Lord, we open our hearts to your grace today. We open our hearts, Lord, to what you giving us exactly what we need at this moment in time. Some need strength. Some need peace of mind. Some need fresh faith. Lord, some need a divine healing spiritually. Some need an emotional healing, Lord. And you've got it all, Lord Jesus. You are our source. And we receive your grace today. We receive your grace and we receive the manifestations of the answers to the troubles that are in our hearts today, Lord. That's why we come to church. And Lord, I bear such witness that the Holy Spirit is doing marvelous things in all of us right now. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. That old song, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Praise God. Have your way, Holy Ghost. I don't want to rush you. You keep ministering to your people. Get me out of your way. Have your way in the lives of your people, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. We honor the presence and movement and operation of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you all stretch forth your hands toward Matt here? Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus today, you're doing great things in the heart and life of my brother. You're opening up the gospel to him in a way that I know he's never seen before. And Lord, I know you've got your hand on Matt. Just keep him anchored in you, Lord Jesus, and in what you've done for him at the cross. And Lord, as this glory of this message continues to be revealed to him, Lord, I know you're going to bless him and do great things with his life. And Lord, just we thank you for sending Matt here, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that for his godly heart and spirit and his hunger for truth. And that hunger is being filled. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's just worship him again, church. Just lift your hands and thank him. He's done some great things in hearts and lives today. Lord, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you will yet do, and we look forward to seeing you soon and seeing all of our loved ones again soon in the glorious rapture of the church. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Praise God. It's been good to be in God's house today. And it always is. Always is. We're going to pick up on Wednesday night and finish 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Come out and be with us. We've been talking about the gift of tongues and interpretation, how it should operate in the church. I believe it's been an education for a lot of us. And you want me to pray for you? Did you want us to pray for your back, Mom? Okay, just stand right there. You can just stand right there. You just start. Well, some of you ladies come and gather around her. Chris, you. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for Mom. Lord, I thank you for giving me such a wonderful, wonderful mother-in-law. She's like a real mother to me, Lord. And Heavenly Father, she's one of the godliest women I've ever had the privilege of meeting. But that doesn't merit your grace, Lord. We're asking for your grace today to be poured out on her. And Lord, I'm asking you to strengthen the bones in her back, Lord, and fuse them and heal them, Lord. And give her strength, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name. Paula, get up here and lay your hands on her, would you? I want all of you ladies of faith, y'all pray for her. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, minister unto her today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We believe you today, Lord. We believe you today, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I sense your presence all over this altar now. If you need any kind of physical healing right now, lift your hands and begin to praise the Lord. I believe he's given that gift is being dispensed right now. Lord, we don't need to necessarily lay hands. We need your hand laid upon us. And Lord, minister unto each and every one who has a physical malady of any type today in the name of Jesus. Deshaun, I want to pray for you, buddy. God's brought this young man a long way. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus today we come to you. And Lord, you've begun a good work in Deshaun by a physical healing. And Lord, I bring that to fruition. But Lord, more than that, Deshaun has special gifts that you have given him to be used in your service. Lord, I pray that he will consecrate and dedicate those gifts unto you and your service, Lord Jesus. And that, Lord, you're just going to continue to heal his body until it is completely free of any malady in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Yes, yes. Absolutely. Where is he? Is he? Is he? Well, step in here, Abby, and let's pray for him. Has he got this virus that's going around? Is he sick at his stomach? Or? Let's pray for him. Stand in for him, Abby. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you today. And Lord, right now, as Corey's out there seated in that truck, and how gracious of him to allow Abby to stay for service today while he's not feeling well. Lord, let your presence and power fill that truck right now and flow into his body in the name of Jesus. At this moment in time, we ask you to raise him up, Lord, and let us see a total difference in him, Lord, when we walk out to that parking lot. And we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, touch Linda this morning also in Jesus' name. She's sick with this virus, Lord. As Abby stands in, touch her. Lord, continue to speed Carla's healing, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for all you've done for her. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, it's been great to be in God's house with you this morning.